Again, I'm very thankful this morning for the Spirit of the Lord in the service, for the songs and testimonies, and thankful for the anointing that we've had in the service. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would just continue to move among us in a very personal way today. I'd like to continue, by the help of the Lord, with the series. This may be the last one. We'll see how the Lord leads between now and next Sunday. This may wrap up the series of the last 6 weeks, but I'd like to begin over in the book of John in the 12th chapter. And the title of the message this morning is, We Would See Jesus. In verse 21, we'll begin with verse 20, the 12th chapter of John, said, There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Do you know there is still a call today in the world that we would see Jesus? Do you know here they were physically wanting to see Christ? And Jesus was there in the flesh, but He is not here in the flesh any longer. But do you know that He has left some representatives? It is the Lord's desire this morning that each and every one of us be an expression of Jesus Christ. And when the world comes and says we would see Jesus, there are people that can point to fellowships and churches and ministries, but there is nothing that can communicate the power of our resurrected Lord like you can by the way that you live your life before others around you that can convince them that Jesus Christ is real. People are questioning whether there is even a God. They question whether there's really a man named Jesus that was the Son of God. There's a lot of skepticism in our world today. But this morning you have the ability through the power of God that people would be able to look on your life and be able to be convinced that there is a Jesus. And when people say, we would see Jesus, are we living in such a way this morning that we are convincing people that this is real? Or are we just following another tradition, part of another church, part of another, living another creed? Or are we living in our individual life by the way that we speak? Are we convincing people that there's a Jesus? Because we are the only Jesus that many people will ever see. You understand what I mean by that? That if we're going to convince them, we can't say, well, Jesus is in the flesh, but they should be able to be convinced of Jesus in the Spirit by the way that we're living our life. Parents, are we convincing our children that there is a Jesus by the way that we're living at home? By the way that we're talking at home? By the way that we are conducting ourselves? Are our children, are the people that we work with, the people we go to school with, the people in our community, are they persuaded that we here today are more than just another church? Can they look on us and say, we would see Jesus and watch our lives and say, I see Jesus? I told a story many years ago, and actually, I believe I was preaching on this verse. I want to share this story again. It touched me deeply when I first heard it. There was a young blind girl in an airport that was selling apples. And she had a table out. She had her apples lined up on the table. And there were people, you know, rush as you do at the airport, there's a lot of rush. And there were a lot of people coming and going. And there was a group of businessmen that were trying to catch their flight. They were about to miss it. And they came rushing by to get their flight, to be able to get home. And some of the men brushed that table and those apples went sprawling everywhere. They went rolling across the floor of that airport. And all of the men just kept on rushing to get to their gate. And there was one of those businessmen that knew if he didn't keep going, he was going to miss his flight and he wouldn't get home. But he turned around. And the girl was down on the floor. She couldn't see, and she was just trying to find the apple. She was reaching, trying to find her apples to put on the table. And the man came, and he stopped, and he said, "Let me help you." And he picked up her apples, and he arranged them for her and put them back on her table. And she said, "Sir," she said, are you Jesus? Are you Jesus this morning? You say, we call ourselves Christian, which means we're like Christ, which means we're followers of Christ. And the world is saying this morning, sir, we would see Jesus. And what are they finding? So many times the world is finding hypocrisy. They're finding a facade. They're finding self-righteousness. They're finding people that profess this and are living this. And yet, what people need to see more than anything, they need to see Jesus in us. And I would ask us as we proceed through this message this morning to examine our lives in a very real, personal, practical way. Are we living like Jesus? Because if all we have this morning is just a profession, but we're not talking like Jesus, and we're not acting like Jesus, and we're not giving like Jesus, and we're not sacrificing like Jesus, and our priorities are not like Christ, then the reality is that we have no business calling ourselves Christians. And yet, I thank God that there is a power that transformed my life. That there are places, Lord, I'm not there yet, but that's where I'm headed. By your power, Lord, I'm not. I have some weakness in my life here, but Lord, I want to grow in that area because more than anything, I want the world, as one song says, I want the world to what? To see Jesus in me. And those of you that have children in the home, it starts. You can convince your children of a Jesus in no greater way than in living the life, showing them what it means to live a life of holiness and carefulness, a life of joy, a life of love, a life of sacrifice, that they can look on and be persuaded that there is a Jesus. So are you Jesus? And over in the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter, in the 11th verse, it said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now these are some of the gifts in the body. And this is the reason the scripture says that God gave these gifts. He said for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, that is one of the reasons it is so vital and important for us to fellowship this morning. Is because we live in a world, and I know the last few weeks we brought it out, that we are not interested in just following a group of people. We're not interested in idolizing a ministry. We are not interested in following a man. And yet, the balance to that is that God gave the gifts in the body of teaching and preaching that we would be edified, that we could grow, that we can become more in the image of Jesus Christ, that we can learn more about what would Jesus do. Do you know the more you get to know someone, the more you know how they think? There are people that I know today that maybe I haven't discussed a certain issue with them, but I can about guarantee I know what they'd say if you ask them, because I know them. There are a lot of things that you could go and ask my wife, what would Michael say about such and such? And she would, on most things, probably be fairly accurate. You know the reason why? because she's lived with me for 29 years. Because she knows, or 28 and a half, we're not going to, we didn't live together till we got married. Young people, that's the way to do it. But the point is that she knows me. And so the more that she knows me, the more that she understands my thinking. And you know what? One of the reasons you need to be careful about who you marry, you know what the saying is? You start looking like who you marry. Have you ever noticed older people, everybody's going to start looking at y'all, but do you realize that the longer you've been married with someone, there's something about it. They almost start to look alike. Have you noticed that? And sometimes, you know, you can pick up little mannerisms, and I think it's because it's that togetherness factor, and that's a good thing. But do you know that the Lord wants us to live so close to Him? And brother, you can tell your wife she's beautiful, because, you know, when you're there, it's like, well, we're one together. But do you know that if we can live closer to Christ, do you know what that means? It means we're going to start looking like Him. The closer we can walk with Jesus, and the more that we can say, Lord, there's been some distance, and I want to get closer to You, Lord. I want to be more faithful to You. We're going to start gaining more and more the attributes of Christ. If you're struggling with how you've been talking, or your patience, or your measure of grace, if you've been struggling with maybe there are things of the world that are pulling you, do you realize that the closer you draw to Jesus, the less attraction the world has? The closer you get to Jesus entering into your prayer closet when you're tempted to retort sharply with a sharp word or some impatience, or to just maybe not handle something with the grace that you ought. When you have been in the presence of Jesus Christ, there's just this grace that begins to flow out because I've been with Jesus. And then the world can look on and say, wow, you didn't respond like I thought you might. Why? Because I've been with Jesus. Oh, I would that the world see Jesus this morning, that we would start looking more and more like Jesus, that we would start acting like Him. The Scripture goes on to say in the 15th verse, speaking the truth in love. So you see, Jesus didn't compromise truth. If we want the world to see Jesus in us, it means that we're going to have to offer more than a milquetoast religion. You know, milquetoast, that's soggy. It's easy to let it get down. But we want to speak the truth, even if people don't like it. But He said, speaking the truth in love, that the purpose is not to cut off. The purpose is to lift up. The purpose is not to put out, but it's to bring them up and elevate them that they can understand. But if we don't teach the truth where it is, there's nothing to rise to. There's nothing to rise to. And so people settle down here in their churches and their fellowships. But we want to hold the truth high, even if people don't want to follow it, but do it in love. Because it's not the judgment that's going to win people. It's teaching the full truth, but bringing them with the love of Jesus, who is willing to embrace the cast off. He was willing to embrace those that society had rejected because of His love. Can we do less this morning as a people? Oh, sir, we would see Jesus. If I'm struggling, can I come to your home and say, I need to see Jesus? Can I come and sit with you for a while? Can I come and sit at your table? Can I sit in your family discussions? Can I go to work with you because I just have a need inside to see something more than just a profession? I want to see Jesus. That's our call this morning, that people could look on and see Jesus, that we could grow up into Christ in all things. You know, I imagine that most of us have a lot of areas in our life that we could say, you know, the Lord's really helped me. The Lord's really blessed me, and I've grown, and by His help, I'm living like Jesus. But do we make exceptions in our life? Are there any areas in our life that we maybe been making some excuses and justifying some things that we really know in the quiet of the night when we examine our life that, you know what, the Lord would really have me make some changes, that I could be a greater reflection of Him? That's the purpose of our worship. It's the purpose of our fellowship. It is that we could understand Jesus more, that we would grow up into Him, into the full stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. As that blind girl asked the question, "Are you Jesus?" Can people see Jesus in the way we treat Him? Can they see Jesus in the way that we're dealing with Him? When people see us, can they see Jesus without even talking to us? I remember we were on our way to Africa, to Kenya, I guess it was, and we were in London. And I've shared this, but I was with Renee and there was Nicole and someone else was with, and Zachary. And we were walking down the road and we had our little map because we had our little tourist map to know where we were going. We were on a layover and everybody's busy, and I know things are very liberal in the United States, but in some European countries it's even more so. So if you want to follow holiness here and think you stand out even more in some other countries. And so there was a man that approached us and he said, "Do you all need some help?" He said, "Yeah, this is what we're looking for. Can you tell us how to get there?" And he said, You are Christians, aren't you?" Now, this is before he spoke to us. And it was because we stood out by the way that we were dressed. And there was something about it that he knew there's a difference there. He said, "You're Christians, aren't you?" Do you know that even in our world today in the United States, people can come up many times and say, "You're holiness, aren't you?" How do they know that? It's because our desire is to follow Christ and to follow His Word. That there's going to be a difference, not just in how we talk, in the spirit that we have, but it's also in how we look. Some people have used this argument and say, "Well, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, and the heart's what's most important." But do you know what? You can't see my heart. But do you know what you can see? You can see my outward appearance. You can see by looking at me if I'm wanting to be like the world. You can see pride the way people dress. You can see arrogance. You can see people that are stuck on themselves by the way they dress. You can see immodesty on the outside. Do you know that that's really, the outward is a very small part of being like Jesus? But I'm finding today too many people are letting the outward go. This is the reason the Scripture says that He would beautify the meek with what? With salvation. Salvation in the heart, that people in the world, even when they see someone wearing a dress without being adorned with the makeup and the jewelry and those things that are of the world, do you know that they recognize themselves? They say, "You're holiness, aren't you?" How did they know that? Because even the sinful world in this generation identifies that with holiness. So if our desire and if our purpose is to lift up Christ, then I don't want to do something that's going to hinder people when they just see me from seeing Jesus Christ. But even more so than the outward is the way we deal with them. The spirit, are we willing to go the extra mile for those that don't treat us right? Are we willing to forgive our enemies when you say, "Well, they don't deserve it," but what would Jesus do? Can we look in our life and honestly ask ourselves in every area, what would the Lord do in this situation? Have you ever been at that place that you knew the answer to that, but you just kind of, I know, but you didn't want to spend too long on it? Am I the only one that's ever done that? If this is confession time. Because you know, until we can come to the place that we say, "Lord, I know what You want me to do. So, Lord, give me the grace. Help me to die out to self that I would be what You want me to be." We would see Jesus. This is the stone which was set at naught, which the builder hath become, which has become the head of the corner. That was Jesus Christ. And over in Acts chapter 4 and verse In verse 13, they saw Peter and John teaching and preaching. And it's wonderful what this scripture says. But it says, when they saw the boldness of John, Acts chapter 4, verse 13, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had what? That they had been with Jesus. He wasn't talking about a ministry that had gone to seminary. He was talking about a minister who knew Jesus Christ. He wasn't talking about a people that were so eloquent and learned how to draw out the emotions of people. We could bring in the piano and the guitar, and we could bring in the musical instruments and change the lighting to create an environment. But that's not what he did. They looked on Peter and John, and they were ignorant and unlearned, but they took knowledge in watching them, and they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Oh, may the Lord help us this morning that people could look on us and say, you know what, I see some needs, and I see you're not this and that, but you know who Jesus is, don't you? I saw you treated me with love. When everybody else went on their way to catch the plane, you were the one to stop and help me pick up my apples. And because I'm blinded, I really don't know what's happening, but I'm wondering, are you Jesus? May the Lord, people look on, may the Lord help us that they could look on and take knowledge of us that we've been with Jesus. What is the world seeing when they look on our life? What would the little mouse in the corner of our home say when he's a part of every backdoor discussion? When he knows everything, when, you know, I encourage the parents, your children have earbuds on, my children know what it was for me to come and pop them off. What are you listening to? You know why I did that? Because I was interested. I wanted to know what was going on. If the Lord came and he examined our lives this morning, are we living like Jesus? What you're listening to? What you're feeding on, what you are watching, what you're looking at, would you kind of have to duck your head if Jesus were right there? Or can you invite the congregation to come home with you that we can see Jesus with you? Can we listen as you listen? Can we watch what you watch? Can we dress how you dress? Can we wear what you wear? Can we talk like you talk? Can we act like you act? Sir, we would see Jesus. I want people to look on and take knowledge that I've been with Jesus. That's what the essence of serving the Lord is about, is coming in His image. Because the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:20 said, now then, we are ambassadors. Who are we ambassadors for? For Christ. We're to represent Christ. And some people said, well, I really don't think... Do y'all really care what I think? Is it really an issue of what you think? An ambassador is not to represent their own ideas. An ambassador is not to live how they want to live. An ambassador is not to make policy after their own thinking. An ambassador is to represent their president in his policies. If you can't represent the president in his policies, you should not be an ambassador, because you are to represent the country from which you came. And if we are part of a heavenly country this morning, if we are part of Jesus Christ and our kingdom is not of this world, is that what is dictating our choices and decisions? Is it fair to ask? Is it stepping on toes this morning to encourage us? Because I can't do it for you, but I have been doing it for me. Is there something, Lord, you want me to change that I can be more like you? Is there something, Lord, that you would have me to adjust that I can be more like Jesus without just, yes, I know that would be better? Then what's keeping us from doing better this morning? So I know it would be better not to do it, but it's not sin. Do you know there are some things that are not sin that are really not reflective of Christ and His purity and His holiness, because Jesus did not walk after this world. But too many people are trying to mix the kingdom of God with the kingdom of this world. Sir, we would see Jesus. May we be ambassadors for Christ. As we bring the service to the message to a close this morning, there is a passage of Scripture, and I'm going to just touch on the highlights for the sake of time. But in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, if you're looking for something to read in family devotions, it's a wonderful passage to read through and talk about. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek what? Those things which are above. What are we seeking after this morning? The world needs to see Jesus. And if we're spending our time pursuing the physical things and the temporal things, the financial things of this world, and that's what we're putting first in our life, do you know that's what the world is going to see when they look on us? Whether we've attained it or not is not the issue. The issue is, what are we striving for? But when you see someone that's sold out for God, do you know people recognize that? But when people are putting their position or their education or the pursuit of money, when they're putting that first, it doesn't take long for people to recognize that. And we're challenged this morning, if you're risen with Christ, seek the things that are above. Let that be what dictates your decisions and your choices in life. Set your affection on things above. Where's your love this morning? Set your affection. You're going to have to fix it this morning. If you want the world to see Jesus, if you want to enter into that intimate relationship with Christ, you're going to have to make a decision that, Lord, I place my love on You. That's what I'm going to, and I'm going to allow that to make my decisions. And then the Scripture goes through and it says, mortify therefore your members. Full disclosure, if you want to be like Christ, to which we have been called, you're going to have to die out to some things. You're going to have to mortify your members. You're going to have to die out to self. You're going to have to die out to your preferences. You're going to have to die out to your ways. You're going to have to die out to your opinions. You're going to have to die out to some of the things you like in the flesh. Because I want to please the Lord more. And you will find that that is where you will find the greatest peace and joy. Because without a crucifixion and a death, there is no resurrection. And the same thing applies for us this morning. If we want to seek Christ and be like Christ, we're going to have to mortify our members. And He went on to say, seeing you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. We need to put, as we put on the new man, we want to become in the image of Christ. Moving on down to that last verse, He said, whatsoever ye do and do in word and in deed, do all. That's everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, so where does that leave us this morning? If our desire is to follow Christ, and that's what this is all about this morning, if it's about following Jesus, and the world is saying we would see Jesus, are they seeing Jesus in us? Is there any area in your life this morning, and I say you're, but that means me in my life, is there any area in our life that the Lord is saying, I'm calling for a change? Because when we want to become in the image of something and we want to follow that pattern, it means you cut off the excess. It means you add to what is lacking and you make a change. The word change means to modify. It means to alter something, to make different. And so as we examine our lives this morning, the world is saying we would see Jesus. And the call of the last few weeks has been Jesus saying, I want you to follow me. Is there any area that we need to modify? And I want to give a special invitation this morning as we stand and sing a song. That, Lord, if there's something that I realize that I need to change in my life. You know, I notice sometimes things the Lord deals with us about, there's a pattern of this taking on and putting off and taking on and putting off. Have y'all ever noticed that? Until finally you come to a place and the Lord says, you know what? I don't want you to be tossed to and fro like children anymore. I want you to grow up and be in the image of Christ. And if there's something in our lives this morning that has hindered people, has hindered us personally from being in the image of Jesus Christ, the Lord is here to minister the grace and the strength that we can leave fortified to make a change in our life. And I'm going to have to give some things up. I'm going to have to die out some. But I want to see Jesus this morning. I want to see Jesus, and I want the world to see Jesus in me, that they also might make heaven their home. If there's something that's hindering that, the Lord's asking for us to bring that to Him this morning. Let's stand and sing a song.